I guess we need to put a dividing wall in. Set this side over here at about 40, and this one over here at about 90. Oh, what's a guy to do? Oh, my goodness. Well, e-commerce has become big business. You can order and get about whatever you want and never leave the comfort of your home. Amazon has everything you could possibly ever dream of, and they make billions at e-commerce. Traditional retailers are finally taking notice, and they've got on this online retail train. In fact, if you're going to compete for the $119 billion that was spent last Christmas season, you're going to have to go online. But here's the deal. If you have everything in the world in stock to sell, but you don't have a delivery system, then you've just got a warehouse full of stuff. You see, there is no e-commerce without a delivery system. Last Christmas season, FedEx delivered 400 million packages. UPS delivered 750 million. And that's not to mention what the Postal Service delivered or Amazon delivered with their own trucks. E-commerce is big business. But the means of delivery is essential if it's going to be big business. The delivery system matters. If you can't deliver, you don't have any business. And it not only matters in retail, it matters in other things. A teacher can be a genius, but without the skills to communicate and to teach, they just have a warehouse full of stuff that they can't share. And if you could have a 100,000 horsepower engine, well, can you imagine that? Boom, boom. 100,000 horsepower. It doesn't mean a thing if that power doesn't get to where the rubber meets the road. You got to have a delivery system. And the same is true in the gospel. You know, the gospel is God's good news for the whole world. It's more than the treasures of Amazon. There's more wisdom than any teacher could ever have, and it's more powerful than anything in the world. But without a delivery system, it's just stuck in the hearts and the minds of believers, ineffective in the mission for which it was intended. And that is the redemption of the world. Matthew in chapter 4 through chapter 9, we see Jesus' delivery system. In chapter 4, we read about the wilderness journey of Jesus and how he begins preaching and calling his disciples. In chapters 5 through 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount where we learn about the kingdom of God. In chapters 8 through 9, Jesus is on a healing tour, restoring people to wholeness, as well as teaching some more. And what Matthew shows us is the crucial delivery system for the gospel. In Matthew 4:23, Matthew summarizes what Jesus was busy doing. It says, Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the Jewish meeting places and preaching the good news about God's kingdom. He also healed every kind of disease and sickness. And so we see teaching, preaching, and healing was what Jesus was busy about doing. Later in chapter 9 and verse 35, we see the identical summary. And Jesus went to every town and village. He taught in their meeting places and preached the good news about God's kingdom. Jesus also healed every kind of disease and sickness. Between these two verses in Matthew, chapter 4, verse 23, and chapter 9, verse 35, are the stories of Jesus doing exactly what these verses described. Jesus teaching, preaching, and healing. These two verses are like flashing neon arrows pointing at and highlighting the ministry of Jesus, his delivery system. This ministry is also important for us today. The Sermon on the Mount is the head and the heart of the gospel. Chapters 8 and 9 are the hands and the feet part of the gospel. The first tells us what to think, and the second tells us what to do. Matthew demonstrated in chapters 8 and 9 what to do with chapters 4 through 7. In his teaching, preaching, and healing, Jesus demonstrates the delivery system for God's good news. So, what was Jesus' delivery system? Cat's got your tongue. What was Jesus' delivery system? All you got to do is read. What was Jesus' delivery system? There you go. What was Jesus' delivery system? Okay. See, this is Mission Sunday. We're going to get interactive. I'm going to see if you're going to stay awake or not. Maybe I'll keep you there this Sunday. I don't know. Anyway, Jesus' delivery system, teaching. Jesus made it a practice to go through Galilee teaching in the synagogues. The people recognized how he taught with power and authority. His teaching was both formal and informal. He taught walking down dusty roads, sleeping under the stars, mingling with the crowds, or handling a crisis. Everywhere Jesus went, he taught and modeled what communion with the Father looked like as he lived in total obedience. By his words and his actions, Jesus taught. Jesus also preached. The Sermon on the Mount is a prime example of Jesus preaching. Jesus, the fulfillment of Scripture, the Messiah, revealed what the kingdom of God looks like and what our lives are to look like in it. He preached and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God throughout Galilee. Jesus was about healing. Jesus went about healing every disease and sickness among the people. In fact, in chapter 9, he begins with healing the paralytic man who was lowered through the roof. He then called Matthew and he taught some more. And then he healed the deaf girl, or brought the dead girl back to life. And he healed the woman with a blood issue. He gave two blind men their sight and gave a demon-possessed man his sanity. This was Jesus' delivering system. It was teaching, preaching, and healing. But what does that mean for us? Is it still relevant today? What part of what I want to share with you this morning is what was true of Jesus is true for the church. In John 14:12, it says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father." You know, with our egotistical way of thinking, we get really hung up on the greater works part. Greater works than Jesus. But the thing is, that's not the most important part of the verse. The important part, the essential part of this verse is whoever believes in Jesus will do the same work that Jesus was doing. The believers are all who call on the name of the Lord and are saved. And what are they to be doing? They are to be doing the same thing Jesus was doing. And according to Matthew, that is teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus was adamant that those who follow him will do what he did. And folks, that's us. You and I, the church today, we are the delivery system. Jesus taught, he preached, and he healed. And we, the church, are to teach, to preach, and to heal. The church is to teach. You know, that's why we have Sunday school, and small groups, and Bible studies, and mentoring ministries, and youth and children ministries. They're all vital ministries of the gospel. All of these ministries and more represent the teaching arm of the church. You know, sermons are important, but sermons are not enough. In fact, if you are only relying on a sermon for your Christian education, you are tapping into the bare minimum, the smallest segment of teaching in the church. I would compare it to going to study hall and skipping all your other classes in school. Now, most of the kids around here, they don't even know what study hall is. They don't have them anymore. But when I grew up, we had study hall, a period where you could go and you could study. You could get your homework done, where you didn't have to take your books home and all this other good stuff. Study hall. Except you know what most kids did in study hall? What a lot of people do in church. Took a nap. Didn't learn much. You see, it is the teaching ministry that has the potential to get deep into the hearts and the minds of people that result in growth. Worship services are important in discipleship, but rarely are followers of Jesus formed and transformed by worship service alone. In fact, it has been observed that people who enter into a discipleship teaching setting are most often more mature as believers, more passionate about Christ, more content in their faith, more likely to stay connected to the church for the long haul. The teaching arm of the church is important, and we need to take part in it. Part of Jesus' delivery system was to teach, and the same is true for the church. And the church is to preach. You know, the Sermon on the Mount is a powerful example of Jesus preaching. You've read it. You've heard sermons preached on it. It is in the preaching of Jesus that we see the kingdom of God. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around the implications of this countercultural message that we find in the Sermon on the Mount. How can we really live that way? But yet, to be part of the kingdom, we must live that way. You see, Jesus makes it clear that our complete allegiance is necessary to follow Him. We are to embrace Jesus' kingdom exclusively to the exclusion of every other kingdom on earth. And it is in preaching that we cast a wide net and invite others to join us and follow Jesus. In corporate worship, under the power of the Holy Spirit, we collectively affirm the kingdom Jesus proclaimed as our kingdom and the people around us as our companions on this journey. And the church is to heal. You know, the teaching, preaching, we sort of understand that, but healing? Now that's a challenge. How do we embrace Jesus' healing ministry? You know, I think we all believe in God's power to heal. In fact, we probably pray more for people to be healed than for anything else. You know, we pray for physical healing and mental healing and financial healing and spiritual healing. I mean, we pray for people's healing all the time. And we should, because the Bible instructs us to do so. But is there more to the church's healing ministry than praying? I want to suggest that there is. And it happens through the ministry of compassion. Every card, every visit, every flower, every food dish, every act of compassion, every compassionate contact from the church family aids the healing process. There's just something about it when you don't feel good and somebody comes and helps you in some way and offers you some encouragement, it aids your healing. By acts of compassion, we carry on the work of Jesus, because as the Father sent Jesus, He sends us. You know, granted, we don't have the power to heal anyone, but the acts of compassion we show, the prayers of faith that we pray, embrace this healing ministry of Jesus. See, the church is to be involved in Jesus' delivery system. We are to teach, preach, and heal. It's not enough for us to acknowledge the job of the church is to share the gospel. We can't slip out from under the example of Jesus and assume someone in the church will carry on the work. I have shared this story with you before. I'm going to share it with you again. Because this is the story about four people named everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. So then somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. You see, we need to be so careful in the church because we are about a teaching, preaching, and healing ministry. But if we're not careful, we overlook the opportunity to minister. We think somebody else, somebody will do it. Somebody will take care of it. And it ends up, who did it? You see, we all need to be a somebody. We all need to be the everybody. None of us should have to be waiting to be asked to do anything. When we see a need, we should move. And if you're uncertain about whether you should move, ask if you can. You're probably told, go ahead. Just as fair warning, though, when you see a need and you say, I see this need. This poor preacher's probably going to look at you and go, God showed you the need, now how are we going to meet it? How are you going to take care of it? Because you see, if you saw the need, God's saying something to you. The work of Jesus must also be accomplished by individuals. You see, you and I have a personal responsibility to do as Jesus did. What is true of Jesus is true for the church, and what is true for the church is true for me and you. No, we are the church. The New Testament idea of a church is not about an organization. It's about a movement. Movements are about people. The church is made up of people. For the gospel to move forward, it will be because people carry the burden and mobilize. You see, the church is not sent. We are sent. We who make up the church are sent. We are the delivery system of the good news. You see, you are a teacher. And you might say, no, I'm not a teacher. Yes, you are. Have you ever helped someone understand something? Do you ever teach somebody how to cook? How to bake a cake? How to shoot or throw a ball? How to fix a car? How to understand a school subject? Have you ever taught or helped anybody understand anything? Who of us here this morning can say, I've never helped anyone understand anything? You see, if you've helped anybody understand anything, you have assumed the role of a teacher. You know, the essential part of being sent is not being qualified, but it's being available. You know, if you're going to teach in school, you have to be qualified. Or you're supposed to be. But if you're going to teach in the kingdom of God, you have to be available. If you're willing to be available, God will take care of the qualifications. Because you see, teaching is more than standing in front of a class and delivering a lesson. Maybe teaching is more like sharing a cup of coffee or a Coke or a Dr. Pepper with someone. And you share your life with Jesus with them. Maybe it's sharing in a Bible study, whether it be in a small group or whether it just be one-on-one. Helping someone else discover more about God than what they know. And at the same time, helping yourself discover more about God than what you know. You see, we're to be helping others to understand Jesus' call on their life as you understand His call on your life. We are to teach. You are also to preach. I'm not a preacher. Not me. I'm too scared to get up in front of people and talk. I understand that. I've been there. I've done that. In fact, the first time I ever done anything, I was a devotional on Wednesday night. I gave the devotional. I think it was maybe at most, maybe it was 5 minutes long. Maybe. And back then we had Wednesday nights, you know, we sang songs and we had our study and then we had testimonies. A lot of y'all don't understand that, but everybody testified. And so we sang our songs and I got up and I gave my little devotional and then I looked back at another teen from church and I said, "Come lead the testimonies." And I went and sat down and that poor kid was up there for 30 minutes. I understand that. But do we realize preaching really, in its simplest form, is just simply proclaiming the good news about God? In fact, if you look at some translations, it doesn't say preach, it says proclaim. That's what preaching is. It's simply proclaiming the good news of what God is doing. Can you proclaim the good news of what God is doing? You know, maybe you can't exegete a passage of Scripture, and some of you just went, "Huh? Do what? What's exegete?" Go home, look it up. But you can. You can proclaim what Jesus is doing. Because He's doing it in your life. You can proclaim that. You can call attention to the kingdom of heaven that is breaking into your life. How God is working in your life. You see, you can cultivate a passion for evangelism. You know, a few months back, we done a thing called organic evangelism, where, you know, we just naturally began to share and do this. We can cultivate a passion for evangelism. It doesn't have to be something that's just natural for us. It just has to be something we desire to do. We have to desire evangelism. We have to desire to see people with no hope discover the hope that we have in Jesus and proclaim that good news. And any way you proclaim the good news, you preach. You're also a healer. Now, I don't think any of us are doctors, and probably one nurse in our midst. Maybe, you know, we're not healers. I can give you an aspirin or Tylenol, but that's about it. I can bandage a boo-boo maybe if it's not too big. But you see, as the church heals through compassion, so do you. We each need to allow the Spirit of God to do a work of love in our own lives. Because you see, as He does a work of love, we allow Him to nurture a heart of compassion in us to where we reach out in compassion to others. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work of love in us. And you deliver food to folks. Maybe they just got out of the hospital, so you take them some food. You know, it's really no big deal. Most of us are going to cook anyway. So cook a little extra and take something to them. And they don't even have to be coming out of the hospital. Maybe they're just sick and you know it. So you take them some food. Or you sit with a family member of one who's having surgery. You realize that's not just the pastor's job, right? In fact, sometimes the pastor's the one sitting there. You see, we have to discover these ways where we act with compassion, where we perform acts of service. You know, maybe perform an act of service, organize a food drive, give of your resources. Just do an act of compassion that can bring a sense of healing to someone you know. You see, the truth is, we have been sent as Jesus was sent. We are to continue the work that He started. We are His delivery system. We are believers. We are the church. And the Spirit equips us. And I would say this morning, if you do not feel like you have been equipped by the Spirit of God, then you need to pray until you get the equipping of the Spirit of God. It's not something God withholds. It's a gift He wants to give every one of us. We must be willing to do something that the good news will be shared. Jesus' ministry was characterized by what? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Aren't we really about the teaching anyway? What's our mission vision statement say? Yeah. Teaching, mentoring, and equipping others to be authentic followers of Christ. You see, we have a mission. Why do we have a mission? What's our core values as Nazarenes? I laid that one on you last week. You remember? We are Christian. We are holiness. We are missional. Well, we got all these threes going today. Are they sticking? Christian, holiness, missional, teaching, mentoring, equipping, teaching, preaching, healing. Does it sound like Jesus left us something to do? I think He did. Because you see, we are sent as He was sent. You and I, we are the delivery system for the gospel. We have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. The question is Jesus able to deliver through us? That's the question. Is Jesus able to deliver through us? We are His delivery system. In a local setting, the teaching, the preaching, and the healing is